Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on WebTalkRadio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. Thanks for joining us this week. So to help you on your journey of change, yes, I know the word change makes us go and stop breathing at times. So to help you navigate these tumultuous waters of change, I have my free communication style assessment. You will get a report spotlighting your natural communication superpowers. We want to leverage that. You will also get a report spotlighting your lowest score, which is typically our blind spots. So again, both reports kind of important. That blind spot, let's shine a light on it. And again, help you minimize those blind spots as we communicate with clients, prospects, peers, family, friends, whoever it might be for you. My communication style assessment is free on my website. Go to whitmanassoc.com/CSA, and that is my gift to you. Now, my motivational quote today is by my guest, Tracy Dunblazer. And she says, Tracy says, unity is the coming together of all the parts of ourselves, loved, misunderstood, and unknown. Now, karma, right? Karma, you've heard the phrase, karma's a bleep, PG show, so I can't say the word, but you know it's the B word. Do you believe that? Have you heard that before? Do you think karma is a balance sheet that we need to keep tabs on? I think that word, in my experience, we use karma so frequently, not sure that we all know what it means. So I'm all about investigating and looking at things from a curiosity perspective. So my guest today is going to help us with that. Like I said, Tracy Dunblazer is my guest. She is Los Angeles-based spiritual empath, shaman, and 20-time National Award-winning author, woohoo, as a multi-sensitive Tracy's blend of intuitive information combined with different modalities have provided the opportunity for thousands to achieve deep healing and create the success and peace they seek in their lives. Amen. As president of the Coalition of Visionary Resources, the trade organization for the mind, body, spirit industry, Tracy manages the COVR Visionary Awards Program, educational opportunities for MBS businesses. And she is the author of Conquer Your Karmic Relationships, Heal Spiritual Trauma to Open Your Heart and Restore Your Soul. So please help me welcome Trace to the show. And we are going to talk karma, baby. So yeah, thanks for being on. Yeah, let's do it. So thanks so much.
Her nails waiting to get to this.
Yes, like let's dig in. Let's put this in my petri dish and evaluate, right? Thank I love you. It. So Trace, define for us or what you've been doing this a long time. What actually is karma or how do you define it?
So karma, of course, is a Sanskrit word that translates to reaction to an action taken. And oftentimes we interpret that to mean punishment and reward. Meaning if you do something good, you get a reward. And if you do something bad, you get punished. Karma is going to punish you or reward you. And that's not what it means. The idea of karma is really more the idea of throwing a stone in a stream and watching the ripples. So it's the patterns that come from one action taken and how they reverberate out into the universe and can very possibly create patterns of or habits that we sustain over a lifetime or over lifetimes. So when we think of, you know, they're going to get theirs, well, the idea of karma, when somebody gets theirs, what they're going to get is the understanding and knowledge of the impact that their thoughts, ideas, words, and choices or actions had on someone else. They're going to eventually learn that. Karma is not, you know, you slap me in the face and I slap you back. Karma is I slap you in the face and then eventually I have to feel your pain of that slap. I have to feel the impact that that action had on you. That's how I learn to change that habit.
Fascinating. And that makes so much sense. And I'm giggling because I use the pebble in the pond a lot when I train, when I talk with my kids. Every time you do something, right? And it's not good or bad, right or wrong, no judgment.
Right.
You do it. What is that impact, right? What are the ripples you leave behind? And it's interesting because, you know, of course, my kids, they're good at calling me out. So sometimes I say things because, Trace, I think too quickly. And right. I don't always buffer what I'm saying, especially when you're with family, right? Because you don't have to be so on guard and aware and you know, mindful of not hurting someone because you would never want to, I would never want to do that. I'll speak for my own self, right?
Right.
My kids will say, do you hear what you just said? And sometimes I'm like, what did I just say? And then they'll say it and I go, yeah, like, what was wrong with that? And then they'll say, well, you know how I heard that. And then when and I'm like, oh my God, like I didn't even realize that. So that's that ripple effect that we have. And most times I think it could be unintentional. Sometimes it is intentional. Mm-hmm. So I think that your definition, I like your definition because when my kids do that, it makes me more aware next time when I go to say something that I'm running, right? I'm moving too fast. Right. And it's like, you know, you blurt something out. Hopefully it helps me learn to pause and say, wait, what do I really want them to understand and take from this versus me just running amok because I'm on to the next thing. So it's that mindfulness as well that we can learn along the way. So again, it's not good or bad, right or wrong. It's, and then the flip side I think is, and I know you probably have had this happen, but like recently I had somebody on LinkedIn, they send me a message out of the blue and I haven't talked to them. It was one of my corporate clients. It was an employee. It was in my programs, you know, that I had taught through the years. And sent me just this lovely email, gotten a promotion, had changed, gotten a promotion. And she said, it's all because of you. I was like, what? Like I almost cried. Right. And she said, because how I approach sales and all these things, you just, it was comfortable and it was right. And I was able to articulate. Now I got this promotion and now I'm leading and, you know, very, very full of gratitude. And I responded, I said, I'm crying. Like you've made my day. We don't always get those emails or those messages.
Right.
That's that karmic, that ripple effect that, you know, years ago, it's still serving her, but she had the kindness to reach out and say, right. Hey, thanks. And I think sometimes we forget to do that, right? The gratitude piece of it.
The other interesting part of that is when we speak on the fly, right? Something just bolts out of our mouth. That is giving us information about our patterns, our karma, what we say to ourselves, what we believe about ourselves. Oftentimes what we say to others is really unconsciously what we believe about ourselves. And so that is the unconscious patterning that we are literally born with.
Yeah.
We're born with a spirit that has all kinds of pockets of information. And over time and development, it governs what we attract to us and what we see in our world and what we perceive that to mean. So we have these unconscious patterns that our world is going to promote, provoke, or transform over time.
I love it. What kinds of karmic relationships, to build on what you just said, but what kind of karmic relationships are we conquering then?
Everything. You know, it's really interesting. When I started writing this book, the idea of soulmates is also very popular. And we relate to soulmates as usually a romantic relationship that's really intense or loving. But soulmates are people that share similar vibrational patterns. So they may not be the exact same pattern, but they vibrate based on the emotion that they carry. So they're similar. So anger attracts anger. Joy attracts joy. Frustration attracts frustration, right? So whatever somebody has going on, you're going to see that and mirror it in your world until you understand, you bring your unconscious self to your conscious mind and then make a choice. So we have a karmic relationship with ourself. We have it with our sexuality, with our divinity, with our creativity. We have it to our culture. We have it in personal and professional relationships. We have it in familial relationships. We have it to food and money. You know, food and money are our basic resources to keep us alive is our first karmic relationship. Right. When we first learn how to say no as a baby by not letting something come out of our mouth, come into our mouth. You know, we like babies will spit out food if they don't want it, or they'll cry, you know, or the other end. Like those are the two elements that a child can control to the best of their ability.
Eating and pooping.
Exactly. So that's where we begin our relationship with how we control or manage our environment. So, and those lessons, the way we come in to perceive them, the way they are nurtured by our caregivers or lack thereof, right? Whatever that situation is, garners or fosters a relationship with that we will carry into our adulthood and never change unless we make an effort to do so.
You know, and it's about our onion, right? We have layers. Yeah. I know I use that example all the time, Trace, but we have layers. And until we start to peel them back and understand them, and I think we have to understand them with kindness, not punitive with self, right? And I have to tell you, that is not easy because I am very quick to beat myself up. Like, how did you do that? Like, you moron, what were you thinking? And that's not kind, right? We would never talk to our little baby Connie self or little baby Tracy self that way. Right. Yet as we age in society and achievement and, you know, rising the corporate ladder, if that's your jam, you know, whatever, we get defined what our roles are. And then we beat ourselves up if we don't master them. And that's kind of unfair.
Right. I have something that I talk about. I talk about it in the book, but I also have a membership program that's called Living Radical Acceptance. And it is the idea of just accepting the way things are right now. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent, whatever they are, accept them as they are. Because once you do that, you now are empowered. You're empowered to make another choice. You're empowered to get more information that can lead you in a completely different direction.
Yeah.
It empowers you to accept, you know, whatever your own self-loathing thing is, or whatever, you know, circumstance, you know, gosh, I'm with a man who beats me. You know, like when you accept that that's the case, you're honest with yourself in a radical way. Like you said, you don't judge yourself. You don't get angry with yourself. You allow the grief that radical acceptance will open up in you.
Yeah.
And once that grief clears, it allows you to be empowered on what to do next. Spirit, literally, when you clear your heart with grief, spirit gives you what comes next.
What do you find, you know, writing the book and interviewing and talking to people and the response from the book? Are there certain patterns that you saw over and over and over again? You get what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there patterns that you saw?
Absolutely. I mean, we are right now on the planet, and especially here in America, we are experiencing, I always think of the room Springer. People are losing their mind. They are letting loose and they are accepting the worst in them or what they consider to be the best in them, but they are owning it like it is what it should be. And there's great purpose in that. It's not pleasant for everyone, but there's great purpose in it, because until you can accept what it is you really think and feel about yourself and others, you can't move beyond it. You can't see the error of that way unless you accept that it is your way, right? You won't, if you don't accept it in yourself, you won't see the repercussions of it in your world, the evidence of it in your world. And that's what we are seeing over and over, is people living their worst selves, loud and proud. And again, we can't change what we don't acknowledge as a culture, as a society, as a country. We can't acknowledge, if we can't acknowledge certain things, we can't change them. So there's a lot of acknowledging and a lot of recognizing. And regardless, I know it seems that we see a lot of all the bad coming out in people over the last 6 years.
Yes.
But the truth is, there are more people who are good. You know, the people, it's not the really, really bad people, the really, really angry people, the really, really self-centered people, it's really actually not them that cause the most problems. It's the gray area people who don't want to get involved. And there are more of those.
Apathy.
Than any of them. So we are all learning to empathize with ourselves, with other people, and to begin to get involved in what we see to be right or wrong.
So I agree with you 100%. You know, my kids are still home. Thank goodness. I'm lucky. They both just got jobs and, you know, they're starting their life, right? New college grads, the whole thing. So just a proud mom, right? But here's the thing, you know, every night at dinner, because they're home, we really have leisurely dinners that we talk an hour and a half, whatever it is. And we talk about politics and we talk about emotions and we talk about why'd you respond that way? And, you know, at work, something happened or whatever it is. And we try to honor each other, right? Which I think is important. That's the communication. That's me with my communication with the sales stuff, right?
Right.
Are you finding that as people are, as you said, they're loud and proud, right? That they're owning their stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Are you finding that they're transitioning over to, like, where did that come from? Why am I angry? Why am I being so opinionated? Why am I saying you have to listen to me, but I don't have to listen to you? Whatever that negative stuff that's going on out there in the media, et cetera.
Yes.
Are you finding that they are having those enlightened moments, or is Absolutely. It just, you know, hear me roar and you shut up, right?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. It's the gray area. It's the gray area people who have been the most quiet. They may feel, joyful, positive, loving feelings for other people, but they don't voice it and they don't stand up to people who don't. Right. And that's where the real power is. And that's the thing that we're beginning, that those are the people that are having the biggest epiphanies. Absolutely. There have been people on either side. There's been a lot of there's a lot of trauma in the world.
A lot of trauma. Yeah. Right?
People experience things and they just put it away. Like it's a doll in a drawer, you know, they just put it away. And it is those things that are coming up. And I want to say this again, another way. Once you have accepted what this thing is, once you acknowledge this thing in yourself, it opens up something inside you that only has one path, and that path is to the truth. So, your question is, you know, are they becoming enlightened? Yes. And there is no other option but to become enlightened. Yeah. There is no other path than to reveal the truth. And every human being has their own truth, what they believe, and what they believe will bring them more and more information until they see what the actual universal truth, the truth that we all share. Right. So there's only one path from your truth to the truth. And that is what has been awakened, and it's creating everything that we're seeing right now. And there is an end to this process. However,
painful process.
It's awful to watch it, but it's powerful. And if you know how much you are backed up by the universe, mm-hmm. as you own who you are, where you're at, what you want, and you stay on that path of change and transformation, if you'll stay there, you have the backing of a universe that can only bring you goodness and enlightenment. That's the only, so there's more support for you in ways that you can't even fathom until you continue on the path. And you know, when you talk about enlightenment, I love that word, but I was dumbstruck when I realized what it really meant. So for my whole life, my story is I was very spiritually challenged. I had multiple spirits and had a completely different spiritual life going on as a child. And that brought a lot of fear. It brought a lot of instability. It brought a lot of emotion. As an empath, I cried every day of my life until I was 50. The good news, right? There was a freedom that came for me and through me every time I did that. And there was this process that happened. And I remember this day, I was 35 years old and I had, I'd had a spirit that was with me, and I was watching a television program and I felt her leave me because I had completed her voice. I'd given her a voice and we'd completed our contract and she left. And from that moment, all the burden that I had carried every day of my life was gone.
Wow.
It was just gone. It was like overnight. And I was like, oh, enlightenment means lightening up, you know, letting go of the burden and working through the burden. It's not, you know, when we talk about just let it go. Well, you don't just let it go. You work through it and you keep, you know, you keep at the grief, you keep at the lessons and the self-acceptance until you get to the place where there just is no more grief for you to process.
That's beautiful. And it's funny because so 35 years, right, of feeling that burden. And then when the lesson was truly learned at your soul level, right, it's dissipated, it's gone. So right. That is something I think to strive for. But here's the flip side, my subconscious, and I'm going to tell you, it was screaming just now at me saying, oh my God, this is so much work.
It is. Well, and I, you know, it's interesting. I mean, look, I am certain that I did lifetimes of work in this one lifetime. So my whole life has been about the work.
Yeah.
You know, and I understand that that's not regular. Yeah. Most people don't do that. But all you can do is what's in front of you. Everybody has something in front of them that they've got to get through it. They've got to walk through it. You don't think about everything else that's in the bag. You just have to take what's on the top of the bag, work through it, and make a choice and move on, process it out. And then what comes next, spirit will show you. And that process, I mean, the thing that I got such amazing empowerment. I felt at one with myself, my people. My people were the soul connections that were around me, and none of them, you know, we were the human race. There were not different ethnicities to me.
Yeah.
Other than I had them all united inside me. So it's not that I don't see ethnicity or I don't see color. Of course I do, but I saw them as myself.
Yes.
Right. With the group that I carried in, and it allowed me to recognize that we are the ones that create separation from ourselves to the creator. We create that separation at some point, at some time. And our goal is to recognize that there in fact is no actual separation. And that as we integrate and grief is the mechanism through which we integrate our personality, our soul. As we integrate, there is a cohesiveness and an empowerment and a power, a force that we are endowed with that is profound. And everyone has that. And so it doesn't feel like work when you just embrace it.
Does the book help? So conquer your karmic relationships, you know, heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. Does the book talk to me and the people listening, but yes, thank you so much for doing that. Cause I don't have a copy. But beautiful, beautiful cover too, by the way. I love if guys go on YouTube, if you want to see the book cover, it was quite beautiful. It's almost like, Get Smart is what came to my head, where you're walking through the hallway and doors are opening along. So it's this very long hallway that you're looking at on the cover. That was beautiful. Yes. The other thing you said that I wanted to say amen as you were talking is that, you know, your guides or your inner workings, if you will, mm-hmm. all of it that you, I wanted to say you had the United Nations in you.
Yes.
So it's true. It's it that. Is. it's all part of me. We all part of each other. There is no separation. Right. We humans, we create the separation. And it's so funny because when I grew up, I was a little girl. I grew up in Newark, New Jersey, here in New Jersey. We were the melting pot. I mean, we had, you know, you had the Black, Hispanic, the Italians, we had the Germans, we had Irish, we had Jewish faith, you know, that were very family oriented too. And we each had our own thing. And my parents would giggle because, oh, God bless you. My parents would giggle because I'd come home and I always had friends. I was friendly. So it didn't matter to me. You had the same interest in me and I was a tomboy. So if you wanted to go and throw the ball around or play stickball in the street, like, hey man, let's go do that. Right. Male, female too, did not enter into, cause I was younger, right. At the, you know, you're not aware of the sexuality, but, I never thought about gender or race or religion external for me. They're my friends. Right. Yes. And then as you age, you start to see the separation that we create and how we think. Right. And, you know, I just, you know, raising my kids too, like we all bleed the same. We all want the same thing, right? We want good health. We want freedom. We want our kids to be healthy and thriving, right? We want love in our life. We want to be loved. We want to be honored, respected, right? I don't care if you're male or female, you're blue or orange, you're an alien. I would think we all want the same thing. So I just, that was so beautiful how you said that. I wish we can all, like instantly adopt that. And here's the thing, right? That's the problem, Trace, though, because then we're not doing our lessons.
Right. Well, I think that we can, when you describe it that way, you know, as you grow up and you see what the world's karma is.
Yeah.
Every country has a karma, and America definitely has a karma.
Oh yeah.
That's based in genocide, war. Yeah.
Yes.
Slavery, selfishness, right? But those are patterns that were created for us to work out here. So you might be born into it, but you don't really see it until you, the older you get, and then you have to make a choice about who you're going to be and what is your truth that will lead you to the truth. There is only one truth, that there is one race here on this planet. Other than, you know, the extraterrestrials that we're not ready to deal with yet. But that's the whole of the show. We're not going to talk about that.
And ghosts. But we know they're there. But we're just talking about the human race right now.
Exactly. Exactly. So there aren't different races. There is one race. But if you start out with, no, there are all of these different races and we have to learn how to get along.
Yes.
Well, the first person you need to get along with is yourself.
Yes.
You know, when you can deal with your own self-loathing.
Yeah.
Then you can learn to accept others open-heartedly. You don't have to like others to accept them. You don't have to agree with them to accept them. But you do have to accept yourself so much that you refuse to choose low choices.
Yeah.
and by low, I mean dense, harsh, mean, selfish. Right? Those are vibrationally, that is the lowest common denominator that we have. And we have it because we need to survive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's protection, right? The ego protects us. Are you finding, and I'll share my perspective, right? Because I won't talk, I'd never speak for anyone else. I just always try to share, here's how I feel, here's how I see. Right. That doesn't mean I'm right, right? But this is my perspective. I feel like the world is getting more and more distracted, more and more self-absorbed, just drive on the road. You know, people are coming into your lane because they're on their phones because they really need to get that text. Listen, if you're a doctor and you're rushing to get to a transplant and you need to look to see, you know, if the traffic is going to hold, I get that, man. I get that. But for most of us, why are we looking at our phones when we're driving? So the self-absorption makes me nuts because it's like, stop and breathe for a minute. How are you impacting the person next to you that just ran off the road because they thought you were going to hit them? Right. But I don't know. I feel like we're becoming more self-absorbed. Again, my perspective, that doesn't mean I'm right, everybody. So what do you think, Trace?
Again, I think that we are acknowledging more of our, what's the word I want?
Crap.
Yes. Yes. That, but like our, so, what people are seeing right now in general for everyone is how psychics have always understood and been open to the multidimensional world.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when you just described driving down the street, you've got a phone, you've got to look at a text. Okay. There, we just mentioned four different dimensions. There's you, there's the physical world you're in, there's your brain, and there's your phone, and you're entering into a new world. And what promotes that is whatever belief, like you said, I'm a doctor and I've got a transplant to go, right? Whatever, those are all different dimensions, and we are multidimensional people. And the only way we are going to learn how to manage the multidimensional dimensionality of our humanness is to practice. And that's what's happening. It's that people are opening up so wide. And again, as a result of that opening, the densest energy, the worst that they carry with them, comes up to be reviewed, recognized, and transformed.
Oh, so we need to go through this for it to be
released. We got
to
do it.
And we got to come through the other side.
Yes. And keep in mind too, that this is not new behavior. It's that you're now seeing it everywhere.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, yes. I said, I make that comparison to a psychic, because a psychic, that's the experience they have all the time. They're seeing things, they're feeling things. It's an onslaught all the time.
Yeah.
Right now we have electronics and technology that give us that same effect. Right. So now we understand what it means to be multidimensional. Now we have to learn how to manage it. Now we have to choose a lane and stay in it for, you know, for whatever purpose, like the pandemic. I had a pandemic story for me. This was not too far back, 4 or 5 months ago. It was only we were about 6 months into the vaccines. And I'm all about the vaccines. I'm all about the masks. I'm all about protecting myself and others. That's where I'm at. So I went to the grocery store, and the clerk, the checker, had his mask under his nose. And I felt it in my stomach. And then I felt it start to raise up, and I was just like, oh, and I wanted to get mad. And I was like, but you can't do that, because that's not who you are. So when I got up to him, I said, hey, how you doing? Is it you long day? I can't imagine having to wear that mask for 8 hours. And he's like, yeah, it's awful. And he put it over his nose. He just naturally put it over his nose. And, you know, yeah, I said, are you off soon? And he's like, yeah. I said, good. I hope you have a beautiful night. Thank you so much for your service. And then I left, and we were all happy. But I was like, you know, I had a chance to be an asshole. Sorry. And I thought about it, and I wanted to do that, because I was mad. You know, we're all mad. We are all mad right now. Nothing is pleasant. This is not pleasant for anyone. And it's not that we don't feel these things. It's that we have to manage those feelings and honor the environment and ourselves.
Absolutely.
Right. And there's always a way to do that if that's the path you want. Because when I got mad, I wasn't thinking that. And I was like, okay, like spirit, like show me what to do here. Because
just
show me.
Right.
And then I realized, well, acknowledge him, because he is having a rough time. And I really, I can talk all the crap I want being here at home with not having to wear a mask, because I don't see anybody.
That's right.
You know, that's my story, but I couldn't be him, you know, so I had to give credit where credit was due, and just be so grateful that he was willing to do that.
That's lovely. And he received it in such a beautiful way. And instinctually, he put it back on his nose and he corrected it. You know, it falls down, and it is cumbersome if you have to wear it for 8 or 9 hour or 12 hour shift. Can you imagine?
Absolutely.
So see, again, you flipped it to come from compassion instead of anger. And I hope we're learning that. I really do, Trace. We're out of time, but everybody listen to me. I know it goes too fast. I could talk to you all day. So this is, you know, this is bad, because we got work to do, right? But if you want more information, please check out Tracy's website. It's Tracy, and that's with T-R-A-C-E-E, so two E's, and then Dunblazer. And Dunblazer is D-U-N-B-L-A-Z-I-E-R, not Z-E-R.com. I will put that in the show notes, no worry, so you can find it easily. And if you have a question for her, because I think everybody needs a little Tracy in their life, please go to her email or email her at info@TracyDunblazer.com. Again, I promise I will put that in the show notes. Additionally, the book will be in the show notes. I want to say it one more time. Conquer Your Karmic Relationships, Heal Spiritual Trauma to Open Your Heart and Restore Your Soul. Again, that will be in the show notes so you can find it if you'd like to purchase, which I hope you do. Trace, thanks again for being on. What a delightful, enlightening, feel good conversation. And I love the clarification with karma and the ripples and just really well done. Thank you so much for just sharing your zone of genius with us. It landed really well for me. I hope it landed well for you as well. So thank you so much, Trace. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
My pleasure. And I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together, no matter what change that you're dealing with. I hope my guests today, Tracy, or my stories, or our tips, ideas, and strategies that we talk about and we dig into, I really hope that they move you and inspire you to try something differently, right? The definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over. So how do we navigate change? How do we become that enlightenment of change within ourselves? I really hope you took what Tracy shared with us today, kind of percolate on it, digest with it a little bit, buy the book, and apply these things into your life. The story about the food store. Next time you're at the food store and you're exasperated, think of Tracy. Think, how can I show kindness right now instead of sharing that anger? Even if you do that, phew, you made my day. So again, go out, shine your light brightly, be the love that we all need out there, man, I'm telling you. And let's create the change that we're looking for. And it starts with us. So again, I hope the tips today helped with that. Tracy, thank you again. Thank you all for joining me. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I really and truly desire for each of you a beautiful week filled with inspiration, love, and joy. Again, just try some of these things out. See how it feels. It's all about experimentation and curiosity in life. Again, be well, and I'll see you all next week. Thanks so much.